Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Flynn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
Two of Australia's leading MVPs, presenters, bloggers, and all-round Microsoft tech nerds. Robert Crane. He's an Office 365 MVP and the director of CIA Ops. Mark Keane. He's a Microsoft Azure MVP and an Azure / PowerShell Premier Field Engineer working at Microsoft. All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, N2K Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Coming back for another episode of the Need to Know podcast, but this time something a little bit different. What's happened, Mark? What have you done to the beginning?
Oh, my God. Didn't you hear that? Don't you just love that?
What do you think? Honestly, honest opinion. What do you reckon? What do you think?
I don't know. It's always better when you do it, Mark. I must admit, we know that you love anything but positive feedback. So, yes, it was excellent.
Thank you. So I basically produced that whole thing, goes through just over 1 minute, voiced the whole thing, put it together, spent a bit of time. We had a bit of feedback. You know, we do take this feedback thing seriously, Rob, don't we? So we get the feedback through on Twitter, through Facebook. That's your thing, Facebook. I don't do Facebook.
Which is such a pity because that's where your fan group is. The Mark Keane fan
that's
club
right.
is on Facebook.
Yeah, but you basically are the one that surf Facebook and thin through all the you're my firewall, you're my filter. You give me the stuff that I need to know about. In fact, that's the reason why I recorded or re-recorded that intro is because you filtered out all the crap and you just basically gave me the good stuff. And one of the feedback we got, somebody who left some feedback basically said that the intro was I don't know, just needed to be changed a little bit, and so I changed it, and plus it was long overdue because I patched it up for the last one, because when I got my new job as PFE, I sort of patched that in and could sort of tell it was on two different types of Rode microphones. If you listen with a good ear, you could sort of tell the difference, but then I sort of redid the whole thing, plus Rode will be happy, added in the good old Rode microphones option as well, and I've got the recording patched in different areas too, in my 12 track or 8 track, so I can easily put it together again, because Rob, we've got some other sponsors coming on board shortly too, don't we?
We certainly hope so, but I think you're overselling the intro there, Mark. I think people have heard it, they like it, they'll let us know the feedback, and I think we need to probably get on with the reason that people have tuned in. So we appreciate the time and effort you've put into doing a new intro, and everybody, please let us know what you think. And again, give Mark some feedback on the hard work that he's done. But apart from that, Mark, doing the intro, which obviously took you, maybe 3 minutes? No, I mean maybe 3 days to do. What else has been happening in your world?
It's been flat out like you wouldn't believe.
So, hang on, let's just get this clear. You're the reason that we've missed our schedule. Is that the case? Do you need to make an apology?
Apologies to a number of people. We sort of did take a short break, not planned. It was unexpected. I was like flat out working around the clock doing 80-hour weeks in 1 week. So double the amount of work. I won't go into details as to why, but just the whole bunch of things were happening.
It wasn't because the sensors took you offline after the last little episode comments you made. No, something wasn't there.
Oh, we won't go there.
No.
We won't go.
Okay.
There.
All right.
Think of this is a mini return back with a new intro. Episode 159 this is.
So, and this will be family friendly. You'll keep it family friendly.
And I can use my mute button. I can sort of beep out anything.
So when do I get a mute button for you?
Ask me for one right now. So can I please have a mute button?
Can I please have a mute button for Mark?
No!
I've got a no button.
No!
It's
no! No!
Have you got a moo button?
No, not yet.
All right, so your job for next episode is to get a moo button, right? No nose, okay. A moo, right? That's your job.
I'll see what I can do.
Because remember, we need to follow what Jeffrey Snover says, and we talk about cattle, not pets.
Good.
So you've been busy doing what? What have you been dizzy?
You know this thing called a scope? When you jump onto a customer engagement and you scope something. I may have slightly overscoped an engagement, and I got bogged down and I got sidetracked and got sort of stuck. And when you get stuck on an engagement, there's such a thing called a promise, and you sort of promise to the customer that, all right, you've scoped this much, but then you sort of, time gets away from you and you're working around the clock trying to get stuff finished, and you sort of can't get stuff finished. And all of a sudden, like, the clock is ticking, and then you still haven't sort of got stuff done. You're still stuck on what you're stuck on, and even then pressure builds up, and then because the pressure's building up,
Hang on. Is this talking about the intro or actually your work at Microsoft?
My work.
Right. Just clarifying. Keep going.
And so... there was pressure that was building up, time pressures and things like that, had to get things delivered. And so I didn't actually make the deadline, which means I still had to deliver, basically, because there was a promise made to the customer. And so I still had to sort of deliver afterwards. But the problem is after the engagement, I was booked on another customer straight afterwards, because that's basically what it is. There's no free days. You're sort of booked in solid from 1 week to another. And so because I was booked on another customer, it's like, how did I have to find time to finish off the work from the previous customer while I was booked solid on another customer?
So did you use your DeLorean?
Beg your pardon?
Did you use your DeLorean?
What's that?
You know, when you need to get back in time, you get in your DeLorean, you set the time date with Marty McFly, and you go back to the future, no?
Well, yeah, with Back to the Future, I would have loved to have, but no, it was cool just working solid around the clock. Late nights till midnight, trying to get stuff done, like literally just up early in the morning, late at night, 80 hours in a 40-hour week.
And is this the first hard work you've ever done?
Pretty much.
Right.
Pretty much.
Just checking. So now you're like the rest of us that do hard work.
Well, put it this way. I mean, I like to think of it as I was tested. They put something in front of me. I was tested. Yes, it was sort of like a little bit my fault. I sort of overscoped. But you know what? I'm not going to do that again. I learned a lesson from that. And I got the work done. And to make matters worse, during the whole thing, when I was playing the catch-up the week after, the following week, I had to do a demo at a fairly large customer of Microsoft in the city, and the demo was all about the new Azure Resource Manager templates that are on offer, resource iteration and property iteration, and also the other demo was on Azure Resource Policy. And so I had to plan for these demos on the Monday and the Tuesday, and that was my days I had allocated just to plan for the demos. But here's the thing: the Wednesday morning I woke up, the day of the demo, and I woke up, walked into the office, and the computer was still plugged in. It was still turned on. Opened up PowerShell ISC, and the script had just, I don't know what happened. It's never happened before. It just wiped itself. It just had a whole bunch of dots across the top of the screen. I thought, oh my God.
So for those keeping score in the audience, that's now excuse 356. Keep going.
So not only was I behind on the original project or the engagement, and I was playing catch up, I was also under even more pressure because I had to basically I lost a whole day's work putting this PowerShell script together ready for a demo on the morning of the demo, and had to literally rewrite this script from scratch, which took a whole day, within an hour, and I managed to do it. And so as far as me being tested, I literally was tested from every single angle, and I managed to survive. And so I went in on Wednesday and did the demonstrations, and it was a touchdown of a demonstration. People loved it. People were talking about it. People were discussing stuff afterwards. It was fantastic. Then the day after that, I managed to get the catch-up work complete, did the presentation to the customer from the week before, closed it off, delivered the deliverable, and Thursday night last week was the first night I had off in 10 days. And let's just say that that was the best feeling in the whole wide world. I managed to get outside, and in fact, I did a bit of weeding outside in the front of the house. I hadn't even touched or even had gone outside pretty much.
So you do appreciate that if you do weeding, you can get put in jail for that.
Okay, so remember how last time, remember how you were just talking about before about me being gagged from my comments from the last episode?
Never. Right. I can't remember that. I've erased that from my memory. And I hope all our listeners have done exactly the same. But if you do want to revisit that, please go back to episode 158 and let us know what you think.
Okay, cool. So anyway, so enough about me. What about yourself? Because I understand you too have been pretty much flat out busy for the last 2 weeks. So it's not all just me. You've also been busy too, which is good. It's good to be busy.
I've been sitting at my desk patiently waiting for Mark to be ready to do a podcast, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I've been focused on.
For the last time, no.
Next one? You want to try again?
So, again, what we can do is we will offer a prize for the person that can guess the most excuses that came out from the beginning of the episode until now. The winner will get a prize and perhaps maybe even a special T-shirt with the reason why we have excuses here on the Need to Know podcast. But Mark is correct. There has been a fair amount of work that I've been involved with, typically around training in Office 365, and also in the middle of doing some Azure stuff as well for partners. So getting them up to speed, showing them all the fantastic things that are in Office 365, making sure that they know this technical side, as well as helping them be able to sell that better to customers and position that in their business. And surprise, surprise, that also applies with Azure, which is currently what I'm in the middle of. So a few more of those to do, and then we'll have a bit of a clean plate to obviously focus on and get some more courses out of. Also been busy uploading and completing courses to my online academy. I have a new one up there called How to Present Office 365, which gives you a bit of an outline as to how to present this to people in an effective manner. So that's been keeping me busy, but again, no excuses, get the job done, move on. So I think probably we need to tell people a bit of news since they've managed to stay tuned in for this long. What's happening in the Azure world?
Oh, well, it's been sort of, you know, this, that. It's not sort of it's been steady. The networking watcher team is excited to announce connectivity check in public preview. You can now use Network Watcher to test a direct TCP connection from a virtual machine to a virtual machine, fully qualified domain name, URI, or IPv4 address. Complex network configurations can make troubleshooting connectivity problems challenging. With Network Watcher connectivity check, we help you reduce the amount of time it takes to direct connectivity problems or configuration issues. Connectivity check helps you tell the source of the connectivity issue when it occurs. You can access it now via the portal, PowerShell, CLI, or the REST API. So more details to that in the show notes. Now, the other news piece that came across, which is sort of not really a massive surprise, they've talked about this before and they've always been ahead, is the fact that Microsoft Azure leads the industry in ISO certifications. Now it's not just the general certifications which they lead the industry, which we all know, it's actually ISO certifications. So we're happy to announce that Microsoft Azure recently completed a new set of independent third-party ISO and Cloud Security Alliance, CSA for short, audits to expand our certification portfolio. Azure leads the industry with the most comprehensive compliance coverage, enabling customers to meet a wide range of regulatory obligations. If that were not enough, having a program with industry-leading depth and coverage specific to ISO is exponentially useful to our customers globally, as ISO standards provide baselines for information security management that are relied upon by many other standards across regulated industries and markets worldwide. So we'll put more details of that in the show notes. I've got three more here. Should I quickly break, Rob, and come back to you? Come over to you for some Office 365 stuff, or
Let's talk about some general Microsoft news since you've launched into it. So, Microsoft recently announced its quarter four earnings. Basically, it had a net income of $6.5 billion on a $23.3 billion worth of revenue. So that's a huge amount of pesos that it's collecting. So that Office 365 revenue was up around 43%. Azure and its server products grew about 98%. Dynamics
grew from last quarter.
Yep. Dynamics, interestingly, grew 74%. So Dynamics 365 is growing at 74%. And interestingly, another interesting one is LinkedIn contributed about $1.1 billion to the quarter. Now, overall, it sort of puts Microsoft very close to its aim of a $20 billion cloud business run rate, which whatever that means really, but basically what it means is it's selling a hell of a lot of Office 365 and Azure again. So again, Microsoft is certainly making good money from the cloud, which is great to see, which means it can build more data centers and obviously afford to pay.
It also can afford to keep me in the job. But basically, you mentioned about building more data centers. I'll just say this again.
No!
It is public knowledge. Well, I'll say it right now. It's no secret, I keep my startup business, my virtual machines for my startup business, they run out of the Azure Australia East data center, which is in Sydney. Just last Friday, I don't know if you've been hearing, Rob, but there's a whole bunch of capacity issues in that data center. And I basically woke up on Friday morning and none of the four virtual machines that normally power up at 7 o'clock in the morning with Azure automation, because basically at night time I shut them down to save money. At 7 o'clock in the morning, they start themselves up. And on Friday morning, none of them came up. And I thought, hello, what's going on here? And so I got my Azure app out on my phone, as you do. And I signed into my Azure account, although it was already signed in. I selected my virtual machines one by one and hit start, and they all failed. And I thought, what's going on here? So apparently there's some sort of a issue with capacity, and I can't go into sort of details. I don't know how much is public, but the public knowledge is the fact that I, as a customer, I'm speaking on behalf of myself here, had a problem starting up four virtual machines in Azure. So that is public. That's my own experiences. And so there are some issues with capacity. So basically, the guidance is depending on the family of virtual machine, and they are looking at basically remedying this or making this better and sorting this out long term. And so as far as opening up other data centers, I wouldn't say it's like a massively bad thing, but it's just the fact that Azure's grown exponentially more than expected since they put the data center in. So it's a good and bad thing, I guess.
So you're calling focus onto something that really shouldn't have been called focus on. Is that what you've just achieved?
Well, it depends on what they are. I have been told that they are focusing on, if you're an existing customer, they are focusing on to make sure that you've got enough capacity for yourself. And obviously, there's odd occasions where if there's issues where you can't spin up your virtual machines to contact support, they'll deal with it on a case by case. But they are working on it around the clock to get it all sort of solved.
Excellent. So the other thing I will ask our listeners to do is please send us a tweet or an email and let us know how many people want Mark to stop using that little no device he's managed to procure. So we just get rid of the doof doof from Mark and he finds something else to play with. So the new campaign is remove the no. So replace it with a moo. So that's Microsoft revenues. The other thing that Microsoft has introduced recently is call analytics for Skype for Business Online. This is going to be a tool that allows you to troubleshoot individual calls within Skype for Business. It gives you a dashboard that gives you analytics about the overview, the process, the system you're using, the devices, connectivity, and whatnot. So if you are having issues around your connectivity or your quality when it comes to Skype for Business, you can use this new tool, which we'll put a link in the show notes, all the details about, but basically you'll find it at adminportal.services.skypeforbusiness.com. And again, it's quite impressive as to the stats it can pull right down to the quality of the audio device that you are using. Unfortunately, it can't troubleshoot the audio of the person speaking into the device, which we really dearly love.
Does that mean we can, it sounds like we're getting to the point where we can do pure HD voice calling over Skype for Business?
Again,
I hope.
I think there probably are a lot of ifs and buts depending on the device you're using, your internet connection, but yes, look, we are probably getting to that sort of stage, but I think a lot of it is around bandwidth. And again, if you're looking to optimize your calls, this is a great tool to be able to look at it end to end and give you some idea of what to start troubleshooting. Most of the troubleshooting I've seen recommends obviously fixing stuff on the local machine or the device you're actually using, so the microphone or the headset. So great place to start.
Yeah, we use it internally for pretty much everything. And obviously there's no issues whatsoever. I'm on a big pond cable connection when I'm at home, which is most of the time, or obviously in the office. I got a sort of a decent internet connection in the office. In fact, the internet connection in the office, I don't know what it is, but it's it holds up quite well, because I was in the office last Monday morning, and this is probably a separate story again, but basically, like, the office was packed, because everyone had come back from the two conferences, Inspire and Tech Ready. And everyone was just, all the desks were all taken. But it doesn't help the fact that they employed, I think, all those inside salespeople as well. I basically left halfway through and just went back home again. I was in there just for a minute.
And you left, or you were told to leave?
Well, put it this way. I was on this sort of pod of six desks. In fact, I felt pretty good, because I walked in and there was a PowerPoint at each end of this pod of sort of six desks. It's one of the high-rise desks in the middle. And there were six of us sitting there. And the row of PowerPoints down the other end wasn't actually working. And I thought, oh, all right, well, this can't be too difficult. I'm a premier field engineer, as you too. I thought outside the square, and I got under the table, and what do you know? The little cord that plugs into the PowerPoint under the table was a little bit unplugged, so I just plugged that in. And it came up and it was working again. So I was sort of like,
sounds to me as though you,
small hero.
It sounds to me as though you could get a job in the Sydney data center solving all these problems. Maybe it's just a cord that's unplugged.
Right. I don't want to go. Yeah, maybe. I don't want to go
there. I think that'd be a really safe location for you, Mark, in a locked up, secure data center. I think we'd all be a lot happier if that was the case.
It'll be more soundproof, and I'll have perfect internet.
Exactly.
Awesome internet there.
Exactly, and you'll super fast all internet. The machines you can speak to. You won't have to speak to another person again.
My God. That'll be awesome. But imagine the background noise. It'll be a lot of hiss. Like,
and that's different from what we have now. How?
Okay, because now there's pretty much the hiss on your side, or the little bit of hiss on your side.
Now, that's me hissing at you from this side to tell you to get on with your Azure news. So what... What more Azure news do you have, please?
Fast and easy containers. Azure Container Instances. Containers have fundamentally changed the way developers develop their applications, the way applications are deployed, and the way system administrators manage their environments. Containers offer a broadly accepted and open standard, enabling simple portability between platforms and between clouds. Recently announced is a new Azure service that makes it even easier to deploy containers. The very first service of its kind in the cloud. Azure Container Services, or ACI for short, is a new Azure service delivering containers with great simplicity and speed without any virtual machine infrastructure to manage. ACIs are the fastest and easiest way to run a container in the cloud. An Azure Container Instance is a single container that starts in seconds and is billed by the, wait for it, second. Oh my God, this is awesome. ACI offer highly versatile sizing, allowing you to select the exact amount of memory separate from the exact amount of vCPUs for your application, so it perfectly fits on the infrastructure. Your customers won't be billed for a second longer than is required and won't use a gigabyte more than what is needed. With ACI, containers are a first-class object of the app Azure platform, offering rollbacks access control on the instance and billing tags to track usage at the individual container level. As the service directly exposes containers, there is no VM management you need to think about or higher level cluster orchestration concepts to learn. It is simply your code in a container running on the Azure platform.
Yes. How long have you been working at Microsoft now?
Since 8th of May.
So,
why?
Because, so that's been what, May, June, July? It's about 3 months, would that be fair?
Roughly, yes.
Okay, so it's taken 3 months for you to change from being a technical person to being a marketer.
What are you trying to say? Why are you bringing this up now for? Hang on.
No!
Okay, so
why are you...
basically what we've got in Office 365 is a change to the sync button with SharePoint sites. So the sync button obviously is used to download or to synchronize libraries from SharePoint online team sites or OneDrive for Business to your local desktop. Now, in the good old days, it used to be called groove.exe, and now...
Hang on, wait. Come back. You skipped over the whole marketing thing.
No, we'll come back to that when it's appropriate. Just let me finish the news so we can get people on who are interested in the topic first.
Right, so we're going to come back as to why I've turned into a marketing person rather than...
That's right, exactly. So let me just finish the news, okay, the good technical part, and we can talk marketing afterwards. Okay?
Go for it.
No problem. So, again, if you've got groove.exe, you do have the old sync client. You need to be on onedrive.exe. And again,
yes,
this update will basically now, not force, but make sure that you are using the latest client. So...
oh, good. So what's it called again? So I wasn't listening. It was the OneDrive for Business update or something?
So you're worried about being a marketer and you're not listening to the technical things I'm talking about.
Well, you changed the subject just like that and I couldn't keep up. I was like, my mind was within marketing.
If you were a technical person, you'd be able to keep up. See what's happened in the 3 months since you've become a marketer? Your brain's gone to mush. Your technical brain's gone to mush.
No, it hasn't. I've just been like overworked.
Stop fiddling with your buttons at your end and pay attention. Are you focused? Have you had your Ritalin?
So tell me about this Office 365, the OneDrive for Business thing. So basically there's a new update coming out finally, because I rang you the other week. I was with a customer of mine and that customer was having problems installing the new version of OneDrive
for
Business.
And they were having problems because they were talking to you rather than me about Office 365?
Well, I was trying to go online to the site, the Office 365 site, to get instructions on how to install the new version of OneDrive for Business. And both sites I found wouldn't seem to work. So that's when I rang you. I was following
further evidence
online,
ladies and gentlemen, that Mark's brain has become a marketing mush rather than a technical power that it used to be. So the new client here will give you the sync button in SharePoint Online Libraries, Groups, and OneDrive for Business. So that will open the new version of the sync client, which is called OneDrive.exe. And you will probably see maybe a couple of different cloud icons down in the toolbar there. Make sure that you have the right one. We'll put the link to this article in the show notes so you can refer to it. But
good.
In essence, so the SharePoint Online Admin Center basically will no longer have the option for you to choose between having the old OneDrive Sync client and the new OneDrive Sync client, which they used to have. It's all going to the new OneDrive Sync client, which is called good. OneDrive.exe. So watch out for that.
Good. Finally, because it actually doesn't work. It actually works very, very well. So why is it, for the last news article I read out about Azure Container Instances, why are you saying I've turned into a marketer now after 3 months at Microsoft?
Do you have some more Azure news for us?
Yes, I've got two lots.
Well, do you want to do those first so that we get the interest going rather than diving deep into your psyche? Right.
Linux and Windows networking performance enhancements. So this is accelerated networking. So Microsoft Azure is pleased to announce a series of performance optimizations supporting the latest distributions of Linux and Windows for all virtual machine sizes, providing up to 25 gigabits per second of networking throughput. So just so you know, 25 gigabits per second bandwidth is currently the fastest published speed between VMs in the public cloud, and Azure has it. These optimizations have been deployed to the entire Azure computing fleet. Now, there is a video that Mark Rusinovich did, which if you've seen Mark Rusinovich present, he is the bomb. He is literally the guy that you need to watch to present, because he's technical, he's the CTO of Azure, he knows his stuff. Well, yeah, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Mark Rusinovich, not Mark Keane, Mark Rusinovich. And so he did a video just recently on FPGA cards. Rob, FPGA cards is?
Floating point, blah, blah, blah.
Field programmable gate arrays cards. So it's basically a hardware term for a card which you can program on the fly. It's got a CPU on board. And it's got memory on board as well. And so basically what it means is these cards can be programmed to do pretty much anything you want. And Azure's got these cards as standard issue on all of their servers, right? And so this is the nutshell version of the Mark Rusinovich version. So basically what they're doing is offloading the network processing off of the CPU on this of the hosts of the servers. And they're basically pushing that the network processing through to these FPGA cards. Now, it might just sound like, oh yeah, network processing is a small thing. Yeah, well, not really, because if you think about it, right, in Azure, they've got all these hosts, these Hyper-V hosts, and all these virtual machines running on these hosts. And every virtual machine could be part of a, well, they would be part of a different tenant, different customers, virtual network. And the virtual networks, obviously, they're completely isolated. But the problem is basically once traffic goes from one person's virtual machine to another virtual machine in another host, it's got to travel through Azure's network. And so there's SNATs and DNATs that happen. It's like there's packets that are stamped onto the front of the packet as it comes out of the virtual machine, go Azure's network, and there's packets that are sort of ripped off the header as it goes back up the chain onto the next host. And all this SNATing and DNATing happens at the host processing level on the CPU currently, and it's basically slowing down network performance. And so this is why they've basically put the network performance onto these FPGA cards instead, which not only frees up the CPU to do better things for what the CPU should be doing for customers and tenants, but also too, it literally speeds up networking massively. And this is where this term accelerated networking comes from in Azure, which is now sort of available. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. And the last piece of news here I've got is Azure App Service Domain. So announcing the preview of App Service Domains. App Service Domains preview gives you a first-class experience in the Azure portal to create and manage domains that will be hosted on Azure DNS for your Azure services such as web apps, traffic manager, virtual machines, and much, much more. The benefits, so you can get subdomain management and assignment, auto-renew capabilities, free cancellation within the first 5 days, better security, performance, and reliability using Azure DNS, privacy protection included for free, except for TLDs whose registry does not support privacy, such as .co.in, .co.uk, etc., etc. So more details of that in the show notes. And that's pretty much
excellent.
It.
All right. Can I do my Azure news now?
Go for
all
it.
Right. What have you got? I have a couple of articles here. The first one here is that Microsoft have announced instant file recovery from Azure VM backups is now available.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's right. So what it means is when you back up a Viv
Instant
VM, bang. Which is a Windows VM or a Linux VM, basically you can just mount it and you can recover those files pretty much instantly, right? So again, no additional infrastructure for that. Really, really quick way to get the information back if you're backing up your Azure machines, and obviously works for Windows and for Linux. So again, information in the show notes. The other one, which I'm a bit disappointed, Mark, I must admit, I thought you would have talked about this because this is generated a lot of interest on the Twitter sphere about this, which is your chosen media for sharing your social life, is it not? Life, is it not?
Go on.
So have you heard of nested virtualization in Azure?
Oh, yeah, that's I talked about that Did before.
You? Well, let's talk about it again then.
The M series of virtual machines. Yeah, you can set a nest again. But go on, I won't steal your thunder.
It says on this article that I am reading, today we are excited, that's Microsoft and Mark Keane, or Mark Keane and Microsoft together, depending on how you see the marketing side of the business. We're excited to announce that you can now enable nested virtualization on DV3 and EV3 VM sizes. What's this N stuff? Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Really? Yes. Interesting. Oh, M series, not N. N is NVIDIA. M for Mark, or M for Mike, is the other series of virtual machines that have 128 CPUs and 3.5 terabytes of RAM. And they did a demo, or Corey did a demo. You can basically host Hyper-V on that virtual machine. And then not only that, on that virtual machine, you can run up a D. Hang on. In amongst that M series of virtual machine, on Hyper-V, you can run up another virtual machine, which is like the equivalent size of a D series, what you just mentioned, and you can basically run up a Hyper-V server on that virtual machine inside of the other virtual machine, and you can run Hyper-V on that. So it's like a nested version of Hyper-V.
How much does the machine cost to run, the base machine?
About $6 billion a second.
Well, exactly. The DV3 and the EV3.
I tried to look for it online. I couldn't find it. So it's not really sort of out there completely 100%.
Well, this article, which we'll put in our show notes, refers to DV3 and EV3 machines, which are far more cost effective for the market and most people out there. So again, really good information there, a really good ability now if you're wanting to do nested VMs inside VMs.
Except one thing, just is I think there might be on the list, the short list of capacity for the Sydney data center just right now.
Yeah, but you're all. Basically once we finish it, from their way to fix that, aren't you? You're going to the data center to solve that.
Yeah. Yep. I'll go out there and sort of take out some hardware and sort of
Excellent.
Plug it in.
All right. Well, it's glad to know that you've got it under control. So everybody else, be prepared for an outage of the Sydney data center, which will fail over to Melbourne. Good way to test the DR.
This is when
the door opens and it's
when I trip over the
yeah,
power.
Yeah, that's right. When you open the door and accidentally trip over,
and all of Azure goes down.
If we can restrict it just to one country, Mark, that would be a really good test, I would suggest.
Okay, all of this, the entire Sydney region just like, whoops, sorry, I just tripped over the cord.
So remember, Accident. People, that anytime there's an outage or there's an issue with the Sydney data center, tweet at Mark Keane with the C, let him know that he needs to plug back in the cable that he's accidentally tripped over as he's walked through the door.
That's right, everybody's going to have like availability set up for their VMs, right?
I don't think so.
And plus, I can plug it in pretty quick, so it'll be within the 99.9% SLA
timeframe. You're qualified
time frame.
To plug leads in. Is that appropriate after your experience at Microsoft you told us about? So that's you're certified?
As long as I'm wearing rubber thongs, I don't think it's going to be a problem.
I don't think people want to discuss what
electricity can't travel through rubber thongs.
Just keep it clean. You know what happened last time? Descended into the depths of your political correctness.
I've got that layer of protection, so if I do get electrocuted, then it's not going to go down to earth. So
and that explains
right.
his haircut, if you've ever met him in person too, ladies and gentlemen. But I think with that, I'm basically done for all my news. Mark, what about yourself?
That's basically it for my news.
Excellent.
As well.
Well, again, Mark will apologise for holding up the production of the Need to Know podcast. He assures me it'll never happen again, will it, Mark?
Never, ever, ever. In fact, you actually gave me a warning.
That's right.
Didn't you, Rob? And basically sent me an email and said, like, it cannot happen again. We need to have a strict time frame locked in. Because prior to all of this, it was more ad hoc. We'd say, oh, like, podcast, we need to do a podcast. It was like in the back of my mind. I knew that podcast time was coming up, had to prepare. But now, after like the 2 weeks, it's not only is the extra work I was doing at Microsoft, but now it's extra pressure by basically having a fixed time factored into the calendar every single week. So a proper official podcast recording, which I'm sure a lot of the other people do as well, I would say, is they probably have the same sort of thing happening, is a proper time where they sit down and do a recording for a podcast and things
like
that.
It's nice to be professional for a change, isn't it, Mark?
Well, I was just going to say, it's taken it up one notch. And if you listen to the intro of this podcast again and again and again, you'll know that it's turned from it's turned from professional to extra professional now.
Excellent. So please, by all means, let Mark know how professional and professional you think that this episode, thanks to the intro, has become. How can people best contact you, Mark? What's your best medium for contact?
Twitter. So at Mark Keane, MarkKean, which basically everybody is contacting me on. It is open to leave messages. If you don't follow me, you can actually leave a message. Other than that, the other Twitter handle that we use for the podcast is for the Need to Know podcast is at N2K podcast,
which is also the same on Facebook. So again, if you want to join in the conversation there in Facebook, same handle there. And how can people contact us via the traditional old email?
Is feedback at needtoknow.cloud. What about a PO box address if they want to actually send
a letter?
Let's put a challenge out there. Well, I was going to say, like, if you want to put a challenge out, if people still actually like to send snail mail.
Who's going to send me snail mail? Are you expecting something from the lawyers? Is that what we're looking for here?
Well, no, I'm just saying, if you want to put a challenge out, there's something for you. Put a PO box address
I'd
out.
I'd rather stick with the Twitter and keep it all at Mark with a C Keen. Send it all there and let him know what you think of his new introduction. But your week ahead, Mark, does that look busy again?
Well, next week, I'm off to the Gold Coast. Not for a holiday. Definitely not for a holiday. I've got to stand up in front of how many people? Probably about, I think there's 12 people registered in the class. 4-day training session. I'm training on PowerShell for the IT Pro. It's a packed 4-day course, which is basically some of the things that PFEs do. And it's at one of the major, I won't say which one, but it's at one of the major universities at the Gold Coast. And so that
McDonald's
university is a, no, it's a
Hungry
proper
Jack's
university.
University.
And that university, no, they're a major premier customer for Microsoft. And so they're basically getting me in there to do PowerShell training. And so this week, I'm spending the whole week pretending to be a student and running through, because it's the first PowerShell course I'm running, because I am accredited, because internally you get accredited to do courses and things like that. Because it's the first course I'm doing, I have to actually sit the labs, and there's like, if I look now, there's like 15 labs to go through, but each lab is what the students basically do in the course over the 4 days, and each lab sort of represents a module sort of thing. So same as normal, you go through different modules, I present a module in front of the students, then they do their lab and gives me a sort of a break, and I basically go and help people who are struggling with the labs. But it helps me if I go through the labs ahead, even though I know all about it myself. It helps me to be familiar with what they're up against.
So you know what you're doing.
Pretty much, it helps to go in there to know that you're all prepared. So yeah, flying up on Monday morning, making sure everything's all set up in the room. And then Tuesday it kicks off. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week.
PowerShell training. Next podcast we'll be able to hear about all your adventures on the Gold Coast. That is correct.
Well, I wouldn't say there's going to be lots of adventures because I'll be flat out busy, but yeah, I mean, walking, I guess the most interesting bit that I'm going to look forward to is first thing in the morning, walking from the hotel to the university. That'll be quite a nice little walk on the Gold Coast. Fresh in the morning, it won't be freezing cold. It'll be beautiful Queensland weather in winter. And again, in reverse in the afternoon, walking back from the university after a big long day back to the hotel, it'll be nice and relaxing. I'm getting old, Rob. I think exercise and walking is nice and relaxing. In fact, I did sort of some walking today. I went up to the park and did laps of the park. Some walking.
You took your three-wheel tricycle with a flag on the back. Is that what you used?
No. Well, no. I took my son.
Oh, so he pushed your wheelchair up there.
He rode his bike. Come on. No. Come on. You go for walks as well.
Yes, but I've always done walks. I think you've only just started them, haven't you?
Well, yes, but it's not by choice. But it's out of necessity to be living, to stay alive, just mental aspect.
So you're practicing putting one foot in front of the other. Is that the challenge?
Ha ha, ha ha.
Why don't we give one more sign off with your magical no machine?
No.
All right. Well, I think with that, before we descend into any more abuse on either side of the microphone, we probably need to call it into this episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.